Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, during the last week on the Beacon Broadcast, we have been examining what Peter has to say about Christian persecution in 1 Peter 4, 14 through 16. And today we want to see how that applies to Christians in America, because our situation is certainly different from those in Peter's day when there was official government persecution, eventually at the highest levels of the Roman Empire, but initially only at the local level, very intense in areas where the Jews predominated as they fomented persecution against believers. Saul of Tarsus was one of the greatest persecutors of believers until God saved him, and then he became a target of that very same kind of persecution. That's what Christ told Ananias to tell Paul would happen to him as a result of his conversion. Show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And it turned out that he suffered the same kind of persecution that formerly he had directed toward people like he now was. And so he understood it. He understood the blindness. He understood the hatred. He understood the misunderstanding. He understood the vehemence of people thinking that they were serving God when in fact they were not. Religious leaders who were persecuting him. But there was all kinds of other persecution that arose, some from Gentile authorities, as recorded in the book of Acts, and eventually from the Roman emperor himself, Nero, and others to follow. So there was real persecution in the days that Peter is writing, and there is real persecution in our world today in some places, but not so much in America. So how do we apply words like this to American Christianity? Well, that's what we want to talk about on this Friday, May 30. We're glad you've joined us, and we're grateful that the financial gifts of our listeners makes this Bible teaching ministry possible. Here's the text, 1 Peter 4, 14, 15, 16. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So, in verse 14, Peter declares very plainly that persecution for Christ's sake results in blessing for the one who's persecuted, just like Jesus said in the Beatitudes. But in verse 15, he makes it clear that only persecution that comes because of the name of Christ, that is, because of your Christ-likeness, because of your Christian activity, is going to bring a blessing. If you suffer because you have broken the law, you ought to suffer. If you suffer because you become a busybody, sticking your nose into the affairs of other people, you ought to suffer. That's exactly what ought to happen. There's no blessing there. You ought to be ashamed of yourself in that case. But, he tells us in verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Now let's see how this applies to us in America today. In America, there will be some persecution for Christ's sake, more or less of the unofficial variety, but friends who will ostracize you, cut you off. Co-workers that will speak evil of you, tell lies about you. Supervisors who will pass you over when you deserve to be promoted or deserve to receive a raise, but because they hate you because of the name of Christ, because you are a Christian, you're going to suffer persecution in cases like this. And there are other examples, certainly in America, of genuine Christian persecution. But so far, we haven't seen much of that at the governmental level because of the way this country was founded, and because of our Constitution, because of our Bill of Rights, and because of the First Amendment to the Constitution, the first Bill of Rights, which gives us in America freedom of religion, something that most of the people in the world had never enjoyed until the founding of the United States of America. And then that idea has spread partly across the globe, though not everywhere. But I think we can see things changing in America today. And persecution in America is now becoming stronger and bolder and more vocal and more intense and more fierce for a number of reasons. And even those constitutional protections, which we have enjoyed in the past, are being eroded, being turned upside down, being distorted, both by policy as well as by court rulings. And so there are examples of official persecution of Christians in America today. Now, when that comes to you, how are you going to respond? Are you going to hide your identity as a Christian? Try to keep it quiet, hope that nobody knows? Are you going to compromise who Christ is and the truth that he stands for, because you know that to stand for that is going to attract persecution? Or are you going to bear the name of Christ openly and gladly? Are you going to be willing and glad to suffer shame for his name? Are you going to be willing to bear that persecution as a badge of honor? That's the question, because we're all facing it. It's coming. It's coming in a lot of areas. I think the incredible change in attitudes regarding homosexuality in America is rapidly eroding Christian religious freedom. The freedom of speech, to speak what we believe, to the freedom of religion, to proclaim what the Bible says, is being taken away from us as in the guise that this is hate speech, this is discrimination. You can't say that. You can't do that. It's already happened in countries like Canada. It's coming to America. You better be ready for it. But you need to understand that when your response to persecution is to try to find a way to avoid it, a dishonorable way to avoid it, that says more about your heart's condition than you realize. And I would encourage you to read again these words of Peter, as well as the words of Christ in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, and give thanks to God for this truth, and ask him to help you to remember it and apply it to your life, and consider not the immediate consequences of being identified with Christ, but the ultimate consequences of your unwillingness to be identified with Christ. And when you realize that there are times that you have shamefully, like Peter, denied Christ when confronted by a little maid around the fire in the courtyard of the high priest, when you think of times when you have hidden your Christian identity because you wanted to avoid persecution from others, recognize how wrong that is. Repent of it. Ask God to forgive you for it and to help you not to do it again. Seek God's help to have strength to stand for Christ. I'm not talking about doing foolish things. I'm not talking about putting a target on your chest. I'm not talking about going around and saying, "I'm a Christian. Persecute me if you want to." I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about not compromising who you are and what you believe and what you stand for just because there are people who oppose that who hate that and will cause you some loss of some kind because of your identity with Christ and what he stands for. Determine ahead of time what you're going to do when that comes, that you're going to humbly, quietly, but by God's help and grace, boldly and courageously stand, not budge, not run, not pretend, not hide, but instead wear your Christianity as a badge of honor. I also think that the persecution that is coming to America is going to purify the church. That's what it's done in places where persecution is more significant than it is here. It purifies the church. In other words, when Christians are being targeted for significant persecution, then people who have just been wearing the name of Christian as a, what should I say, as a badge of social respectability are going to peel it away and disappear. Yes, they're happy to be called a Christian if there's some benefit to them for it, but no, they're not willing to be called a Christian if there's some liability for it. And this has a way of purifying the church, of sorting out who's really a Christian and who's not, of separating some of the tares from the wheat, some of which will never be completely separated until the end of time. But in persecution days, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a whole lot more pure. Knowing that, we may not dread its coming to America quite so much. Because persecution reveals false professions of faith. Persecution has a way of dealing with those cultural Christians, those who are Christians just because of the culture of their home, their background. Their parents were Christians. They were taken to church. They've adopted a cultural Christianity, but have never been born again. Persecution has a way of doing that. Persecution has a way of ferreting out those who are weak and a way of forcing new alignments between those who are serious about their Christianity. And persecution results in fewer people being called Christians. It results in a shrinking membership among the churches, but the churches become stronger as a result, because members who are called Christians, who are not real Christians, don't strengthen the church, they weaken it. Only God knows what is best for America, but the idea of persecution coming to America, which some Christians act as if is the very worst thing that could happen, and we've got to do everything we can to stop that, and that usually means political activity, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure if that's the right way and the right motive to be involved in political activity, though I believe in political activity if it's done in the right way. I don't believe in all political activity, but I believe in political activity that's done in the right way. But I also realize that the best thing that could happen to American Christianity is for some persecution to come and to purify the church, and to make us smaller and stronger. I don't know what you think, but that's what I think, and I would encourage you to think about that as well. Well, may God grant you great grace and courage. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.